Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the lesson which you heard just a moment ago for this Monday of the week of Pentecost, Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, have you seen the game show Deal or No Deal? I think it's pretty good. I won't go into some of the reasons that one might find that show attractive, but I think the game itself is actually quite intriguing. Maybe you know how it works. It goes like this. It begins when a contestant, urged on by family and friends, chooses one of 26 briefcases, each of which contains an unknown amount of money. Now, you do know that one briefcase contains 1 cent. Another has $1 million. And the other 24 have graduated amounts in between. You just don't know which one is which. And of course, the contestant doesn't know how much is in the one briefcase that he's chosen. The game proceeds like this. The contestant opens one of the other briefcases, not his own, one at a time, and progressively finds out how much money he doesn't have. Now, obviously, as he opens those briefcases, the odds of his briefcase having big money either will go up or down. If he opens one of the briefcases that has a small amount of money in it, then the odds that his briefcase has big money increase. If he opens one of the briefcases with big money in it, then the odds that his briefcase has big money too go down. Okay? Now, here's where it gets really good. Constantly unseen, somewhere out of sight, is the banker. The banker is continuously calculating the odds on how well the contestant is doing in opening those various briefcases. And after certain of the briefcase openings, the banker calls down to the MC to offer the contestant an amount of money to call off the whole deal. Okay? If the contestant is doing well with those briefcase openings, opening a lot of the small money briefcases, then the banker offers a lot of money. If the contestant is bombing, he's already eliminating all the big money briefcases for himself, then the banker's offer goes down. And after each one of those offers from the banker upstairs, the contestant has to decide, deal or no deal? Does he take the amount of money he knows from the banker, or does he hope for better? In our text this morning, St. Paul tells us about the deal that we do indeed have from God. Now, what we see of it so far may not look all that great, but we'd be fools not to take that deal because we're hoping for better. Now, the deal as we see it so far is the sufferings of this present time, which, in our text, St. Paul describes by giving us a look at creation. Our text, Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Paul says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Creation, Paul says, was subjected to futility. He says it's in bondage to decay. A cyclone in Burma kills tens of thousands. A thoroughbred filly breaks down at the Derby, has to be euthanized on the track. The Negev is blooming, but only at the cost of the Sea of Galilee possibly being pumped dry. Ever since Adam and we blew it in Eden, the garden ain't been no garden no more. And life is no walk in the park. It's not just creation that is groaning, but verse 23, Paul says, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait. Our bodies are wearing out. It's the way it is. No getting around it. You may have heard people say that 50 today is the new 40, maybe even the new 30. I like that. 80 is the new 70, maybe even 60. A couple of years ago, Claire and I were having our family insurance reviewed by our Thrivent rep. And she, our rep, was explaining to us that at the present funding rate, my universal life policy would be funded until age 94 and then done. And I thought, sounds good, 94. She said, you don't expect to live beyond 94? I guess I like that too. I guess. But even 94 isn't forever. One of these days, we're going to die. And while we're waiting for that to happen, the sufferings of this present time mean that it's not even a no-brainer that we want the whole 94-year deal. It may not be all that great after all. Running out of gas at the end of the quarter, wishing that you could just literally run out of gas instead of having to fill up at $3.79 a gallon. Wishing that the end of the quarter would really bring release from gas prices and rent and insurance and student loans. Knowing that it won't. That's what we see of our deal so far. So, deal or no deal? Paul says in verse 20 of our text, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. Not willingly. Surely, we gotta be hoping for something better. We'll do anything to save our skin from dying. Heck, we'll practically do anything to save our skin from drying. Some days, we'd chuck this whole being a pastor, being a deaconess thing just to get out of having taken oral final exam. If somebody were to offer us a check for us now for a financially carefree retirement in the Bahamas, we'd take it. Absolutely. If this, what we got right now, is the best deal we're going to get, then some big banker in the sky either doesn't know what life is like down here for us, or doesn't care. So we think. And we'd be fools. We'd be fools not to take this deal because we're hoping for better. Because you see, in this very deal, we are hoping for better. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Important to notice what St. Paul does about suffering, what he says about suffering in the verse immediately before our text, in verse 17. He says, we suffer with him, with Christ, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For us as Christians, our suffering is a participation in the once for all suffering and death of Christ Jesus. Our baptisms have made us co-heirs of everything that's Christ's. The Holy Spirit, given at Pentecost, is the down payment so that our suffering is a sharing in the suffering of Christ Jesus. For him, it was bloody death at Calvary. For us, it's messy life in this world, groaning under the effects of our sin. But as his body was raised on the third day, verse 23, we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's the deal. We'd be fools not to take that deal because we're hoping for better, because in suffering with Christ Jesus, we are hoping for better. In this hope, verse 24, Paul says, we were saved. And it is better. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Not a new 30 or 40 or 60 or 70 or even 94 plus, but eternity. Not eternity run down, broken down, broke, but eternity living as the fully revealed sons and daughters of God. Living with Christ, glorified with Christ. No, we don't see the whole deal right now, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we take this deal. Amen.